reputation will not be tarnished at an early age if I'm labeled a negligent paper boat owner.
Hiya, Georgie! Do you want to start a podcast?
No!
Come on, Georgie! Don't you want to review movies? We all review movies down here!
My parents told me I'm not supposed to talk to strangers.
It's different when you're talking to a lot of strangers, though.
Where's the rest of them?
All over the world, Georgie! Don't you want to be a spokesman for Sherry's Berries? We can monetize, Georgie!
I gotta go.
Wait. I'll let you play with the reverb. Listen to all this reverb.
That's self-indulgent. Nobody cares that you know how to work your audio effects.
Do you want your boat back, Georgie?
Yeah, I guess so.
Come on. Take it.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet radio program. It's spooky month.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet radio program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host Napier.
What's up?
And via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Spooky.
Yeah, it's spooky month. Great. Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Guys, it's going to get dark, I think. It's going to get dark.
Most of our shows are dark.
Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you sick of all this shit? Napier, you gotta be sick of the shit, right? You're sick of it. It's every day.
I don't think I'm on social media as much as you guys are.
Napier. I'm just talking about the world as a whole. Aren't you sick of it?
Do we need to throw people into volcanoes again?
We do. We just need a flood. We just need to start over. Travis.
Maybe we could Pompeii the entire United States. Everybody can be like frozen solid, frozen stiff, like in masturbatory positions. You know, would turn the whole country into a big statue.
What was that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal where like there was like an ice age or something?
The Day After Tomorrow.
Let's just Day After Tomorrow the whole goddamn place.
Yeah, you're right, because I think if we did the statue thing like Pompeii, like the new settlers in the United States, they'd have a bunch of statues to get mad at and flags to get pissed off about. So maybe if we just like freeze everything, we'll be good.
It's a disposable culture we live in, Travis. It's a disposable culture. Every day there's a new tragedy. Next day, on to another tragedy. All of our enemies are Nazis. Nothing matters. And if nothing matters, then what are we even doing? Let's just start over.
Existence is fun.
Existence is fun
and tedious.
But we need to get to a point where we value our lives and the lives of others.
And that's it, right? That's it. Because that's all you need. Valuing your lives, the lives of your families, and the lives of everybody else. Because nothing else in the grand scheme of things means a pile of shit.
I mean, the alternative is just like, you know, dust. Just being dust.
Eh.
And so, I mean, like, why not just bring things... Travis, We're doing a fun show here. Tell me about Garbage Pail Kids, Travis. Tell me about Garbage Pail Kids. You're tweeting about Garbage Pail Kids. Let's talk about that, Travis. Let's talk about Garbage Pail Kids.
It could be hard to do a complete 180 on this conversation.
Travis, you were cleaning out your closet yesterday. You found a bunch of Garbage Pail Kids. Let's talk about that.
Like the Eminem song, cleaning out my closet. I wish everything could be that. You know what I mean? I wish it could be the most important things are digging out trivial bullshit that sparks a feeling of nostalgia. Like I was flying pretty high this weekend and all that. I had a great weekend. We had like a campfire. It was really good. I spent some time in my comic book room. I have a closet packed full of collectibles from, you know, 20 some odd 30 years of collecting. But I can't get to them because they're comic books piled in front of them, and it's a chore. My comic book room is not very big, and I need a place to put that shit. So if I want to get to that closet, it's a process. But I finally decided that I probably need to get rid of some shit because I'm getting buried by nostalgia and collectibles. It's organized, but some people could say it's a hoarder mentality. So I decided to get in there. I knew I had some shit I could part with. The first thing I grabbed out was a box full of Garbage Pail Kids. I'm like, oh, let's look and see if these are worth anything. Otherwise, I'll throw the whole works on eBay for super cheap and just get rid of them. I need a clean house. Got to get rid of some shit.
Travis, let me ask you a question. Do these people honestly think that Donald Trump is sitting at his desk and he hears about Puerto Rico and the devastation in Puerto Rico and he says, oh, we're not helping those people? Yeah, fuck those people. I hope they die. Do they really think that?
The funny thing is, too, is I believe it was the governor of Puerto Rico. Is that a gal, or maybe it was the mayor?
It's the mayor of like a city.
And she did a press conference talking about how the government has not been helping Puerto Rico at all, and she was standing in front of like hundreds and hundreds of pallets of canned food and bottled water.
And Travis, you know what? That woman is in a desperate situation. Her city is underwater. She's out there working 24 hours. She's trying her best. She's,
do not refute that.
She probably isn't sleeping. I'm not even talking about her. I'm talking about these dickheads at home looking at their computer screens. I said computer screams. It's spooky month. Ooh. Computer screens, Travis. Travis. So you find all these Garbage Pail Kids cards.
So I do a little bit of research. It's the first time I've seen these cards for years. I haven't opened that closet up in probably 3 years. I look in there. There's a bunch of cobwebs. I'm like, holy shit. Nothing's eaten by mice, so I'm pretty good. go through the Garbage Pail Kids, start to sort them, start to look up error cards, see if anything's worth any value. Do about an hour and a half of research on Sunday morning.
Do you have Garbage Pail Kid Beckett?
No, you just jump online and there's actually, you know, there's a collectible market for everything, which means there are websites for communities of collectible people who collect those items. So I jumped on a couple of Garbage Pail Kid websites that discuss the rarity of cards and error printings and all those kind of things. And look up. So I start to see some of these error cards. And after I sort my cards, I start to look through them and found one that was worth a decent chunk of money. I was super excited at first because the last one I saw sold for $169, and there was another one in the sold listings for $190. So I'm like jacked up. I'm like, this is a great Sunday. After a little more research, I found that it's realistically going to sell for about $80 to $140.
Travis, what kind of person spends $160-something on a Garbage Pail Kid card?
Same type of person who spends $200 on a comic book.
See, now, the Garbage Pail Kids, I imagine that they're probably even more rare because the Garbage Pail Kids were also stickers.
Exactly.
Some were very tempted to peel that sticker off and put it on.
Yeah, they were all stickers until about Series 15, and then they printed them as stickers and not as stickers, where they were just cards. But otherwise, they were all stickers up until, like, Series 15.
See, and everybody politicizes all this stuff. They
immediately
like as the garbage. Pail I mean, kids? These bodies haven't even hit the ground. Do you want to talk more about Garbage Pail Kids? So, did you put any up on eBay, Travis?
The Garbage Pail Kids? Immediately put that one up. I took the pictures of it, threw it in, you know, because it's cards from childhood. So they were just in a box. Nothing was protected. I imagine that all of these cards had rubber bands wrapped around them. So condition is very important to collectors. I immediately pull this one out, find a hard plastic case for it, and shove that sucker in there. Took some pictures, and last night posted it on eBay. and immediately got like six watchers in like 10 minutes. So,
see, they save it to a list and they're like, oh, wow. I might buy this, but I'm going to wait and see what happens first.
Yeah. Or they're Travis and they have one of their own.
So Drunk will not be here tonight, guys. Drunk's girlfriend was in Las Vegas last night for a bachelorette party weekend. And he called me earlier, and he was very shaken. Drunk was pretty worked up. And he said that his girlfriend was going to the airport, going to get a flight home as soon as possible, and that he wanted to spend the evening with her. Understandable.
Fair enough.
He was very apologetic and talking about how much he wanted to be here. And I was like, drunk, don't be silly. I know. And he's like, thank you for understanding. I was like, drunk, it's a stupid podcast. We're going to talk about Garbage Pail Kids, drunk.
Yeah, this is a worldwide tragedy.
We'll do this next week. We've missed you, drunk, but it's okay. So Drunk was really worked up. He, as you would imagine, he woke up in the morning and had a text message from her that said, just so you know, when you wake up and see the news, I'm okay. Everyone that's with me was okay.
The thing I said to you as soon as you told me that, there's two ways that the morning for him could have went. He knows she's in Vegas. He flips up in his phone or looks at the news, sees what happened in Vegas, and loses his mind.
Right.
Or he looks at the text message, sees I'm okay, just so you know, and is like, what the fuck is going on?
Right,
and
that's right. News. It's not a good way to wake up, I would imagine. Not a good way.
So scary.
If you haven't heard, there was a mass shooting at a country western concert in Las Vegas last night. There was I think the death toll is up to 58 people.
58 and 515, I believe, was the last wounded.
And so all of these people, they see, oh, mass shooting. What political agenda can I push? Obviously, gun control is a big one.
To be fair, though, they will spend 2 minutes saying what a tragedy and, you know, we hope everybody's okay. And then immediately go to the politicizing of it.
No. We don't need to know if everybody's okay. There's something that's coming up in the next couple of days in the Senate where they're talking about silencers. These guns were loud and people ducked when they heard the gunfire. We could spin this easily, right? Let's talk about silencers.
They don't really work like that.
No, it's not like the movies or a video game where it goes toop.
How can I use these dead bodies to push my shit? How can I do it? What can I do? Hey, you know what would get me really good ratings if I just told everybody that it was a false flag and none of those people died? I could do that. People will either listen to it because they believe my horse shit, or they'll listen to it to hate it. But a listen's a listen, right? Ad sponsors don't care if they're listening because they hate you. They just care that you're listening.
Yeah, but it's the same thing like what happened this afternoon where, you know, it was reported that Tom Petty was rushed to the hospital and within 20 minutes, everybody said he died.
Is Tom Petty dead, Travis? We don't know.
Not dead. His daughter said, hey, guys, my dad's not dead, but, you know, he's not doing great. Stop saying he's dead. But it didn't take 20 minutes after it was reported that he was rushed to the hospital that people are like, oh, shit, Tom Petty's dead, because a couple of news outlets reported, hey, they pulled Tom Petty off life support. He's dead now. So then everybody started posting Tom Petty lyrics and Tom Petty videos and thought they were really clever by saying things like Richard Petty, you know, rest in peace, Tom Petty, and posting a picture of Richard Petty because people think they're super clever.
Will Tom Petty's real death mean less now? Because we've already done the Tom Petty's fake death.
Of course.
Or will we care more? Because they're like, man, we thought he was okay, and now he's dead. This hurts. I don't know how to feel.
Well, he's not doing well, and he probably will pass. But
Travis, I'm bummed out that Tom Petty's not doing good.
Not doing good.
But he's not dead.
Not dead.
But, I mean, like, people get ill sometimes.
Many times.
You don't jump the gun on... Travis, if you were the second person to report that Tom Petty was dead, who cares?
Your boss.
Just make sure the guy's dead first, right?
No, maybe a little fact-checking, the integrity in journalism.
But see, it's a disposable culture, is what it is. We don't care anymore. Like, we just have to be first. We don't have to be right anymore, because tomorrow it's going to be another goddamn thing.
Our media is the comment section of YouTube back in the day, where the somebody always had to post first, and it made them feel super good to comment for the first time. Well, that moved into our actual media landscape, where these people grew up a little bit, went to school, and they're like, shit, now I can be first in front of more people. They'll see it quickly, and I'll feel really good about that.
I blame bloggers.
We have to convince others that our lives are valuable by hurling our bodies onto interstate highways. That's the only way to get people's attention nowadays, is to inconvenience them with our danger, with our potential deaths. You have to listen to us if the only other option is to run us over with your car.
Or you could disrespect our national anthem before a football game.
Yeah. And you know what? All those soldiers, Travis, they died for the flag. They
died for the flag and the national anthem.
They died for it. That's what they went out there for. They said, you know what? This isn't about some kind of, power move. This isn't some kind of strategic mission. We are specifically going out there and dying to make sure that Tom Brady stands when the song plays.
Greatest country in the world.
Fucking cocksuckers.
I'm going to go out on my 18th birthday, and I'm going to enlist in the Army, because it's very important to me that Steph Curry continues standing up when the song plays. It's important.
Super important.
We have to teach an entire generation of children that the police are the enemy, and we have to be a free spirit, and our lives, they matter. As if anyone is arguing with them. Is there anybody that's saying, no, guys, your life doesn't matter? It doesn't. I'm sorry. No, it doesn't.
Probably on the internet.
Oh, that's very true. That's very true.
Sure, the internet's full of that shit.
Anonymous shitheads on the internet spewing their nonsense. I actually... last night, we have all these hashtag days. I think we just had National Podcast Day, Travis. National Podcast Day just went by. And I suggested that today, I suggested this last night. You know, I picked a bad day for it, Travis.
Yeah, but it didn't work out, really, because I think it would have been embraced a little bit more.
I propose that today be hashtag National Don't Post Your Political Bullshit on Social Media Day. And I told anyone that if they posted political bullshit, I was going to shame them by sending them a dog wearing a hat. And I loaded up on dogs with hats, Travis, because I knew there was going to be a lot of people posting stuff about kneeling for songs.
I do like the bunnies with the pancakes on their head.
Bunnies with pancakes on their head? And then this thing happened. People were actually commenting, you picked a bad day, because we all got to post our gun control stuff. We have these memes, Travis.
Yeah, we've saved them for all of the national tragedies.
We have all of our gun control memes, Travis. I mean, we got to wait for things like this, right? We have a folder with our gun control memes for one of these things.
You know that one that says we don't blame a bomb, we blame the bomber? I got that locked and loaded.
You just have it. You're ready for it. You're planning on using it.
Got to.
I did enjoy seeing you post some of those pictures under people like Amari King's Facebook posts. I did enjoy that. I saw. Hey, Mike Moore. He commented on this. I'm like, what the fuck is he con? What would he comment on this? And I open it up, and there's a golden retriever in a winter hat wearing sunglasses.
Fucker broke the rules, Travis. It's National Don't Post Political Bullshit on Facebook Day.
Made me happy.
And he broke the rules. I declared it a day. People got to listen to me.
He's got to pay.
You know, the Kingsman...
Only fucks with National Chocolate Milk Day.
Yeah, chocolate milk gets a day. Can we just have one goddamn day where everybody just like posts pictures of cute cats and doesn't post anything about how Donald Trump tweeted about Rocket Man? Who gives a fuck? Let's just have a day. I know it's all important. I understand. It's all something that we need to know about. I know. And believe me, I've pretty much given over everything I listen to and watch to political shit. I'm ensconced in it all the time, and I could avoid it, but I feel like you can't. You can't not know what's going on anymore. You have to know.
I think once you take that Matrix pill, you can't unplug. It's just not possible because you know how to be informed. Like, I do have fond memories of being uninformed and ignorant to everything happening in the world, which I feel made me much, much happier. But once you jump into the cesspool that is social media and 24-hour news coverage, I just don't think it's possible to like back out of that.
And I think they know that, too. And I think that they feed into all this stuff. They like it. They like the yummy – I was posting yesterday on one of my local news stations because they were just posting baiting shit about the protesters. And they just – they want the culture war to rage on in their comments section because every one of those yummy, yummy post reach. Yummy, yummy.
They don't care. They don't.
Hey, guys, look, the protesters broke out a car window. Doesn't this make you mad? Ooh.
You know what you could do? The things you don't like to see, don't click on it. That's what you do. You like cat photos? Click on the cat photos. Want to hear about your friend's like shitty night at a bar? Click on that. Don't click on the
Are you outside of this bubble, Napier? Do you feel like you're not enraged by everything?
Nope.
You're fine?
I used to be one of those people that was really big into anti-gun control and... not there no more. Ain't going to worry about it. Too much of that shit during Obama and everybody's like, oh, he's going to ban guns. Didn't fucking happen. You know what I said?
It's not going to happen.
What are you going to do about it from your internet chair?
You're not going to do anything about it. Stop talking about it.
Nobody.
Napier, there is a huge majority. There's people in my family that will never vote for a pro-choice candidate.
Oh, yeah, I got him in
there. They are one-issue voters. If you are pro-life, you got their vote. That is the one topic that they will vote on.
Yep.
And you know what? If you vote in a pro-life candidate, you know what's going to happen?
Not much.
A fucking thing.
It depends. Some places like Texas... you know, where the state's like fucking full of them. Yeah, you probably could.
Yeah, they make it very difficult for people where they have to travel to other states and shit.
Yeah, so yeah, it does matter who you vote for. But at the end of the day, you know, reading this shit all day long, it's going to do nothing but, you know, give you fucking aneurysms and heart attacks and shit.
And, you know, I can't wait until we've lived with social media for long enough for them to be able to do studies on our brains when we're in our old age and see how much life it's taking away from us and how much the stress and the micro stresses are like killing us slowly.
Oh, probably a fair amount.
I would agree.
So this is what you do. Have your opinions. Read shit you want to read. You don't want to read the shit. You want to be done with it. You don't want to get angry. Don't get angry.
But here's the thing. You have your opinions. You read the stuff you want to read. But then you're just in an echo chamber. You're not creating a dialogue. You're not challenging your opinions.
Are you there for that?
You're just looking for what you believe, and you want other people to validate what you think. And then we just do this over and over again. We just do it over and over, and nothing ever changes.
That's because...
And it's just garbage, and it'll always be garbage.
Mike, when was the last time you went on the internet to get an opinion about something that you didn't have too much of an opinion on before?
I constantly want to be... I want to learn things. I just don't want to see people spouting... Napier.
That's not what Facebook
all
is for.
All day today...
I loosened on my gun control.
I've been trying to figure out if I should be mourning Tom Petty or not. I like Tom Petty. I'd be sad if Tom Petty died, but if somebody said he's dead, you see how it flows out like a tidal wave where one person reports it and then just hundreds and hundreds of other people report it. There are people right now sending out their own messages saying Tom Petty is dead, even though there's news to the contrary. Because one person said it, so it must be true.
Well, it's just like this morning, BuzzFeed was doing a compilation of all of the false information being run around social media about the Las Vegas shootings. People missing and, you know, who was involved. And they were actually making a list and tracking where all of the photos that were posted and all of those things. So you can't purge that shit. There's so much garbage out there. People trying to get attention by posting just wrong shit.
Jody B. sent out a news article to me and about a dozen other people earlier this week. It was a story about a medical examiner who severed all of his patients. I guess, do you call them patients? What do you even fucking call them, Travis? Anyway, the FBI went to this guy's house and found 3,000 severed dicks in jars at this guy's house.
Okay.
And they were like, wow, this should be a bigger news story, right? I mean, if you find 3,000 severed dicks in a guy's house, I feel like that would be something that we'd all know about. Looked it up. Instantly found it was fake.
Yep.
Replied, hey, Jody, and all the people Jody sent this to, it's not real. It's fake. After I sent out proof that it was fake, like four more people retweeted it after I told them it was fake.
That's because nobody read the thread or the article.
They just said, oh, hey, look, this is funny. The guy, he's got a bunch of severed dicks. That's a funny story.
Guess it could be, unless you live near him.
Everything's garbage. And when you look into the futility, I mean, like, it's only going to get worse, right? I mean, it's not going to get better. If you look out there and you see, like, where this ship is headed... I almost like say, well, I understand why you'd want to jump overboard. I get it.
Mike, you know what you should do? Care less about news and goings on. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the Orville. I'm going to watch that shit. It's going to be awesome.
Is that your pick of the week?
Oh, yeah. It's fucking amazing. Way better than that bullshit Discovery.
So you're
digging that Orville? Pretty funny. Is that a pretty funny show?
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Your suggestion is indifference.
My suggestion is to worry about the things you can change and not about the things you can't.
There was 250 people that were shot at last night for just standing around watching a country western concert.
I know, that's sad. That's horrible.
Like 600, closer to 600.
And you don't see all the garbage people that are using that for their own bullshit? It doesn't make you mad?
Nope.
Doesn't.
People have opinions about gun control. I'm not going to change them. Are you going to change them? Going to get on Facebook? Make a difference?
No. Nope.
Hashtag gun control now.
I'm going to send them a dog wearing a hat.
The people that are sending that stuff, they're sending it to people who already agree with them. To reinforce that, yeah, this is somebody I know and already agree with.
But how do you change that? How do you? Because that's ultimately the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. Is everybody?
The problem
repeats their own bullshit, and nobody fixes anything.
The problem is that you're there. Go away from there. Facebook's a shitty place with that's nothing but an echo chamber.
The world is a shitty place. I live in the world.
No, you don't live in Facebook. You look at the Facebook stuff. Read the newspaper. Don't get off social media. Stop it.
The newspaper reported that Tom Petty was dead.
The newspaper hasn't been printed for today. So just read the news. You want to see something, go watch the news. Watch your favorite broadcast. If they're wrong, they'll print a retraction. If they're wrong on TV, they'll say, hey, our bad, we screwed up.
Travis,
you don't have to hear about everybody's opinion of it.
Travis,
we got to go back to the time when local news reported, like, the local show where, like, the squirrel was riding the water skis. You know what I mean?
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, like the cat shows and shit. And, hey, local baker Tom blah, blah, blah made the world's biggest chocolate chip cookie. Isn't that great?
And then hashtag make squirrels ride on water skis again.
Yeah, exactly.
Travis?
Yes, sir.
I saw Kingsman: The Golden Circle the other day.
Oh, it was good. Yeah, how
was that? Despite the negative reviews. Most of the reviews made reference to the fact that in the first one, they blew up Obama's head. And in this one, they didn't blow up Trump's head.
Of course.
So why didn't they blow up Trump's head? They blew up Obama's head, Travis.
Well, that didn't go very well for them the first time they did it. They probably didn't want to repeat it.
Well, you're talking about a movie, the first movie where they had like a massive shooting inside of a church during a church service that I didn't think, you know, probably did really good for them. So they might have tried to tame it down a little bit to like make a little bit more money.
Yeah. Everybody was mad about that Obama's head thing. They were like, hey, maybe we shouldn't blow up president's head this time because it made a lot of people mad last time. But no, that means that they're pro-Trump because they didn't blow up Trump's head. They had a fictional president. They didn't really – it wasn't really Obama. It wasn't like it was a picture of Obama. It was implied that it was a black president with funny ears.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a good impersonator. It didn't – I mean
– it was a black guy.
Yeah.
Black guy. We had a black president. We blew up his head.
Yeah. You're saying only one black guy can be president? Come on, racists.
So in this one, and the funny thing is, I mean, this guy, he was definitely supposed to be Republican, I would imagine. And he was definitely the antagonist. He was a bad guy. But they didn't blow up his head, Travis. They didn't blow up his head. And so the reviews, Kingsman got a 44% on Metacritic.
With the addition of Channing Tatum, I find that hard to believe.
The movie's silly.
The first one was silly.
It's a silly movie, but it was fine.
There's a scene in the first one where they like told Eggsy he had to shoot his dog in the head. It's a silly fucking movie.
Trevor, you gotta blow up Trump's head. Got to.
if you want to convince
these pricks, you gotta blow up his head.
100% Rotten Tomato score. They blew up somebody who looked like Trump's head.
Turnabout is fair play. You blow up a Democratic president head, got to make a sequel, got to blow up a Republican's head.
Yeah, even though we were super mad the first time.
Mm-hmm. And we got to ban silencers because, you know, that's how people know to duck. If they hear the gunfire.
I guarantee if you put a silencer on a rifle, it's not really going to silence it.
No, Napier, that doesn't fit.
Come on, Napier. You know how easy it is to walk into a gun store and walk out with a machine gun? You know, a fully automatic weapon.
So how many Garbage Pail Kids would you say you have?
There was, after the count, I want to say 360-something.
Are they first editions?
No, it's series 4 through 10, I believe. Ugh, my fantasy team let me down again. You know the feeling. Let's forget about Cam Newton getting 40 points on your bench and do something a little different. Let's take a chance on some wagers, and let's do that at mybookie.ag. Because where you wager is just as important as who you wager on. Hey, your team doesn't even have to win. They just need to cover the spread. And if you're a Bears fan like me, your team is not going to win.
Right now, bears.
Right now, if you use our promo code WFOD, mybookie.ag is going to match your initial deposit up to 100%. Take that $30 you're going to use to pay your fantasy commissioner and turn it into $60. Then, stop taking your fantasy commissioner's calls. You don't want to play anymore. Your opponent this week got 27 points off his kicker. Forget it. Go to mybookie.ag and get lightning fast payouts from the safest place to play. Don't forget to tell them that we sent you by using promo code WFOD. Finally, delete your fantasy team. Baby Got Dak is no more. Baby Got Dak.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney. Do you have any Hot Pockets?
I think so.
Is it Philly cheesesteak?
I typically buy ham and cheese.
I only fuck Philly cheesesteak.
Hey, fuckwads! Did you know that we're on the TuneIn app for your smartphones? Wherever you go. That's right, take us anywhere. Take us to the fucking mall, take us to the boat, take them in your car, do whatever the fuck you want. You can listen 24 hours a day to StrangeLabel.com. Download the app, search for Strange Label. StrangeLabel.com on your phone. Phone.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Kingsman 2 finished with $67 million and a shitty 44% Metacritic, bringing 29 points home to daddy. I saw it and it was fine. Critics didn't give this one a fair shake because the world is a never-ending fire of virtue signaling and bullshit. Lego Ninjago, the Lotus Cast first rounder, finished with 20 points with half the money and 10% higher Metacritic. So that goes to show you, kids, this critical metric really fucking matters. Nobody believes in the box office draw of Tommy Cruise anymore, so that American-made flick got passed over. Blade Runner comes out this weekend, so we'll have some action to tell you about involving not safe for water coolers next week.
Angry! Waving my hands a lot! Specific point of view on things! Cynthia! Cynthia! Jesus died for our Cynthias! Jesus cried! Runaway bride! Julia Roberts! Julia Rob hurts! Cynthia! Cynthia! You're dead! You are dead! Bop boop beep bop bop boop bop! You're dead! That's for Cynthia. He's dead.
Safety patrol at the end of the year?
No, actually, I no. When I was in sixth grade, I was named the safety patrol lieutenant. So I wasn't even the captain, I was the lieutenant. Jessica Milberg was the captain. But she didn't take her role too seriously. I took my role very seriously. The power went to my head.
Like Danny McBride and Vice Principals?
Yeah, yeah. And like, really, they let me run with it, which, I mean, they should have told me to dial it back a bit. But I mean, I would, like, get passes out of class to go meet kids during their recess period to punish them. Like,
that sounds right up your alley.
Did you beat the shit out of
no,
them?
No, like, my... My pet peeve was when people were leaving class for the day, they would jump the bottom step. They would jump off the second step to the ground.
This is giving me a really good insight into how you became Adult Mike.
And if people did that, then I would make them go back up the stairs and walk down the stairs again, Travis.
Jeez.
And there was this one kid who kept defying me, Travis. I was doing it for his safety. I was the safety patrol lieutenant. And every time this kid would jump down the steps, so I had to teach him a lesson, Travis.
Did you have an orange sash and a badge?
I did. Had an orange sash and I had my lieutenant's badge. And this kid, I pulled him from his recess period and made him walk up and down the stairs through his entire recess.
Was it that Halloween that your house first got teepeed?
No, Travis, they wouldn't dare teepee me. I was feared at Coldwater Elementary School. They knew better than to cross me.
What if they did cross you, Mike? What would you have done?
I would take away more of their recess periods because these teachers, they gave me the power. They let me do it, and I got drunk with it.
Did any of them give you the finger? Tell you
no,
fuck off.
No. The teachers, they all let me do it. I would put my hands out and block them from crossing the street until it was time to cross the street. I took my role very seriously, and I had
those teachers gave you unlimited power because they were just happy that they didn't have to deal with that shit for a little while, and they figured if you got some poor kid hit by a bus, they'd just blame you.
Yep,
I was the fall guy, but I didn't falter. I kept all those kids safe,
right in the straight
and I probably taught them that jumping that bottom step, it was wrong, Travis. It could cause injury. They could like turn an ankle or something, Travis.
There's probably like 100 adults out there right now that have like weird anxiety about the bottom stair at their office building because of how you tortured them every single day during sixth grade.
Yeah. So yeah, I had a confidence then. I had that badge, you know. And, you know, it put me in a position of authority. But now I can't even, like, make eye contact with anybody. I'm like a little fidgety man, you know?
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. I think that if you gave me, like, some kind of, like, deputization or something, you made me, like, an honorary, like what Shaq has. You know, like Shaq is like a Miami detective or something.
And Steven Seagal, he's like a sheriff, like a deputized sheriff.
Yeah, he drives around in a tank, right? That guy that was riding around with Steven Seagal in the tank, was that the same guy that Trump pardoned? That Arpaio guy?
I don't think he had a tank.
Oh, I don't know. Was that the same place where Seagal's a sheriff?
That could be made up, Travis. It could all not be.
Well, let's just make a meme. We'll make a meme and we'll share it across social media.
We're just
going to
tell people it's true because it doesn't matter anymore. We don't even know if Tom Petty's dead.
Yep, here's Steven Seagal, you know, talking, you know, about Putin being like a great world leader. And look, here he's riding around in a tank with that dickhead that Trump pardoned.
I looked up during the break. I'm trying to find out if Tom Petty's actually dead. And there's some people posting that he's not dead. And there's other people posting all the celebrity reactions to him dying. And they're all coming at the same time, and nothing makes sense, and everything is bullshit. Joey's saying Steven Seagal was in Louisiana, but it was that Arpaio guy.
Yeah, we'll fix it. We'll fix that. I love it just as much as I love when Variety posts a headline that says, Josh Gad, Lady Gaga, and Daisy Ridley take to social media to talk about the Las Vegas shootings.
Yeah, we need to know what Lady Gaga thinks, Travis. It's important. What
Josh Gad thinks about, like, the biggest mass murder in U.S. history.
He's probably fucking not old for it.
You know, Jody says that Steven Seagal was in Louisiana. He probably looked it up, I assume, or knew from firsthand experience. Travis, we don't have any information. We don't know. We're just spouting bullshit. But you know what? I want to believe it, so I'm just going to. You remember when Joe Arpaio and Steven Seagal were riding around in that tank taking out drug dealers?
Yep. And then, like, 2 weeks later, Steven Seagal did a press conference from Moscow. Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, it's crazy. Guys, it is spooky month. I hope you guys all feel in the Halloween spirit. I don't know what's scarier than, you know, actual existence at this point. But, you know, hey... Ooh, creepy goblins and ghouls, right?
Yeah, if you haven't had an existential crisis in the first 2 days of October, you're not doing it right.
Ooh,
fear of the void, the void of death, the empty nothingness that you will dream of.
I mean, Travis, you're a parent.
I am.
Yeah, so, like, you not only have to worry about your own safety, but the safety of your children.
It is true, and I can say that I've fallen victim to the paranoia shortly. Well, I guess it wasn't even shortly after the Colorado theater shootings. For a good solid year and a half to 2 years, I was always paranoid, and still a little bit to this day.
Kids can't go to movies?
Well, no, I take them to movies, but I'm extra vigilant. If somebody's moving around or popping in the middle of the movie, I make sure to, like, eye them up. Make sure they're not casing the joint. I make sure that nobody's walking in the exit. Not that it probably does any good, but I have a plan to protect my children in pretty much any circumstance.
Oh, so you're ready.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be, but I like to at least try to have the forethought of, you know, where are the exits? Where could I, like, cover them? Like, where should we, like, duck and cover? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I can't say that I haven't fallen victim to the paranoia and the fear that these people do inject into our society.
I remember having a conversation with a guy one time at a Deftones concert because it was standing room only. And I was talking to him about how I don't really like being in standing room only because I'm always afraid somebody's going to walk up behind me and, like, stab me in the back. You know, I don't like people being behind me. Freaks me out. And, you know, that's the same. I guess it's the same, like, you know, when I'm in a theater and, like, you know, I know that there's people behind me. And maybe I just need, like, a tortoise shell. If I had, like, a tortoise shell, then I would lose that fear because then, you know, they couldn't stab me in places that I can't see. If I could see them coming, then maybe I know to you know, try to defend myself. But if they come up behind me and stab me in the back, I need a tortoise shell.
Now throw a kid or two into your brain that you know you are the person who is supposed to protect these young people, and add that to your anxiety, which I am riddled with all sorts of anxiety pretty much every single day. Just personal shit.
What's your fix for that, Napier? Just don't go outside?
The fix is be vigilant. Watch your kids, of course. Make sure, you know, you have an exit plan in case of fire, tornado, emergency,
whatever.
Are
you a baby wearer? Did you get one of those things that you can like put it on you and carry it around?
Oh no, the wife has one.
She does.
Bjorn?
Yeah,
she wears her baby. But you have Napier. I want to see you wear your baby. Are you going to?
I don't wear my baby. I carry my baby if I'm going to take the baby somewhere. The wife does it so she can be on her computer or play video games or whatever.
And she just has the baby on like a front backpack.
Yeah, it's more like a sling for your baby. And it keeps the baby, you know, on you without having your hands around the baby the entire time.
Anchor in the chat is saying it's a papoose. Is that what that's called? A papoose? That's a fun word, papoose.
A papoose is more for like walking around. It's like you're a kangaroo. But no, this is more like a sling for a baby.
Yeah.
I think I have a papoose. I don't know. I've never brought it out. It's kind of for bigger babies than I have.
Just throw the kid in the banana box and cart him around.
So be vigilant, but show no fear.
Be vigilant. Do what you were going to do anyway. Of course, don't go somewhere.
What do you think about a tortoise shell?
You can buy bulletproof backpacks. Why don't you just get a bulletproof backpack?
In honor of Spooky Month and to celebrate Samhain, I've decided once again to bring our listeners back to the edge of the other world. I've scoured through hundreds of hours of interviews and read countless documents to break down a few of the most haunted places. This year, we travel again to the other side of the world, this time to experience the terrors of the Orient. I'll feature one of these spooky sites each week, and together we'll figure out what makes each of these locations so disturbing. We'll take the listeners on a tour of these devilish destinations so they don't have to experience the terror firsthand. Or I'll feature them so they can travel to one of these spooktacular sites at their own peril. This week I bring you the Tac Tac School in Ping Shan, Hong Kong.
Are you sure you're pronouncing it right?
Tac Tac School in Ping Shan, Hong Kong.
But you said you're going to take us there. That's what you said. You said you're going to take us there so that they don't have to go there.
You don't have to go because I'm taking you to the Tac Tac School in Ping Shan, Hong Kong.
Okay, so take us there. Tell us more about the...
You're at the Tac Tac School in Ping Shan, Hong Kong.
The name itself inspires fear.
Sleep well.
You know, this is the third year Travis has been doing this.
And each year amazing.
The third year.
It's my favorite feature. With bated breath, I wait for October and spooky months.
He waits a full year to do this. He looks forward to it.
I look forward to stop him.
I'll tell you, I start prepping for this in March, where I do all of my research and look through documents and documented cases of hauntings, and I bring you the spookiest devilish destinations, like the Tac Tac School in Ping Shan, Hong Kong.
In the chat, they say they love this bit. I don't know why.
Because you get angry?
I don't know why.
Because it's amazing.
But I guess in this dark of days, where we don't know if Tom Petty's dead or not, and there's a potential that it'll be easier for people to get silencers, at least Travis can make people happy with his garbage bit.
Hey, spent a lot of time on this.
Where was it again, Travis?
The Tac Tac School in Ping Shan, Hong Kong.
Excellent. Good choice.
Guys, we're going to be bringing you A-class stuff like that all month long during Spooky Month. We
I got some really extra special scary places in the next 4 weeks.
Are they all in the Orient?
They're all in the Orient.
Okay to say? I don't think you can people Oriental anymore.
No, you can't say Oriental, but you can say the Orient still. That's all right.
The Orient is an actual area.
Right.
Napier, are we gonna try to do the show from your house?
It's probably gonna be better to Skype.
I disagree.
Well, for me it'll be better to Skype because when the show's over, I have to be in bed.
Well, when the show's over, I'll go home. I'm not going to spend the night. We're not going to watch a movie.
I still vote on Skype.
You'll get to sleep quicker if Mike comes to your house.
Right.
Why is he going to drug me?
Because then you don't have to drive home.
Yes.
So you're going to go to bed way quicker than you would. Like,
but if I
in
Skype,
2 weeks, you'll be going to bed way earlier than you will tonight.
Well, I have to.
Right, Travis?
That's what I mean, from the outside looking in, seems like you're going to get a whole lot more rest.
Wow. Think of how much more rest you're going to get, Napier, in this new arrangement where we do the show from your house.
You'll have so much energy the next day for activities.
I won't be getting more rest. I'll be getting less rest because I start a new shift. It's going to suck.
If Mike is there, he can stop you from falling asleep at your keyboard.
Right. I can tuck you in and lock the door on my way out.
And hush, little Napier, don't say a word.
I'll put a little milk in the microwave.
Hummingbird.
I'm not a fan of warm milk.
I can read you a bedtime story.
I wouldn't pay attention.
Mike is gonna buy you a diamond ring.
Hope not.
Will you marry me?
Travis.
Yes, sir.
He's giving us an ultimatum is what he's doing. He's saying it's Skype or nothing, I think, is what he's saying. And I get it, Napier. I get it. This new situation, it sucks. It's not great.
It doesn't
suck. It's your life. And your life is way more important than some podcast.
Well, and my little ones.
Your child and its upbringing, it's important. But Napier, you're garbage on Skype.
I will improve.
Napier, you're garbage on Skype.
You could always make some YouTube tutorials on how to not be garbage on Skype for him.
I don't know, Travis, because I'm gold on Skype. I've been guests on things before. You go find my guest spots on things where I was on Skype. I was great.
Napier's Skype shows before.
Travis, Napier, he's garbage on Skype. He's garbage on Skype.
Wasn't Napier on old Davey and Dent show one time? I thought he was delightful.
Yeah, I was on there. It was a good episode.
Yeah.
You know, the British folk, I don't think they understand we get the news here.
See, we could alternate weeks. Travis, right? Alternate weeks.
They can't alternate weeks.
This is garbage.
Every third week you guys come to my house.
Right. Like 1 week we'll do a good show and the next week you can Skype in and we'll do a bad show.
But I have to be at home at night.
You'll be at home for both.
We could do this on the weekends.
Can't do that.
No, Drunk man,
can't
I,
do weekends. I, Travis can't I, do weekends. I can I do any day, weekends. But you know it's not up to Mike, guys. It's not up to Mike.
I'll let you know I got free weekends.
Neat.
Maybe we can do like segments, weekend segments.
Just have a checking in with Napes during the break.
Yeah, we could write a delightful theme song for it.
Checking in with Napes.
Hey guys, I'm at home by myself with my baby.
I wouldn't be by
myself. I'm getting so much sleep. All right, bye. Hey, watch Evil Dead.
Right? Watch Evil Dead.
Oh, speaking of sci-fi, if you're interested in watching the Nightmare on Elm Street filmed and don't want to purchase them, sci-fi will be playing the first 5 Nightmare on Elm Streets in the second week of October. That'd be like the 8th and the 9th, I believe. They have a full list of all of the horror movies they'll be playing on the Sci-Fi Network at sci-fi.com. At least I think that's the website. I could be wrong.
Guys, you only get this life, and everyone else is just trying to you know do their thing, and get by. I mean, we're all out here, just swimming around in the big sea, trying not to drown. That's all we're doing. We're trying not to drown.
Guys, I'm just trying to pay my mortgage and send my kids to private school. That's all. That's what my life is.
Guys, if you don't like Donald Trump, just realize that he's not sitting up there thinking of how he can personally fuck you. He's not.
Don't vote for him next time.
He might have his personal interest in mind. That's right. But you have to just imagine that the man is not like personally invested in fucking you. Like, that's not what's going on.
And cartoon supervillains aren't real.
Every single one of them is an opportunist. Just look at how Hillary Clinton, just a few months after losing the election, released a book about what happened and is making plenty of money off of it. So they're all in it for themselves, guys.
Guys, the people that disagree with you, they're not Nazis. I don't really – there might be Nazis, but there's probably not very many.
Oh, there's Nazis, yeah.
Sure, oh, there's definitely sure. Nazis.
Guys, there's probably Nazis, and they're bad. Nazis suck. Guys, nobody thinks Nazis are good except, like, the 1,000 Nazis in the world.
No, there are at least a dozen Nazis, Mike. A dozen.
And they think they're really cool, but they're not cool. And nobody thinks they're cool.
We all know they're not cool.
Yeah. We don't like them. They're bad. And
that's why Captain America punches them all the time. And we love Captain America.
And, like, if you go punch them in the face, that's still assault. And you shouldn't do it. The best idea would to not go to where the Nazis are.
Or make fun of them. You can make fun of Nazis.
Make fun of them? Yeah. But this whole thing where we all just think that it's all bullshit, it doesn't matter, and our lives are just headed into despair, we got to get out of that way of thinking. We got to start sharing more pictures of cute dogs and cats wearing pancakes on their heads.
Rebel against the us versus them mentality. It's not us versus them. It's us together.
It's all of us. And guys, that Marvel Universe Live thing is coming here soon.
I bet it's going to be garbage.
And I want to go to it.
That's terrible. I'd go.
So go see it.
I want to go see it. But I feel weird about going to see it because I'm an adult man with no children, and it's probably a thing for kids.
So take your wife.
But I want to go. And so I might just go because, like, I'll probably look forward to it and it'll probably be fun. And, like, I can kind of laugh at it and realize that it's absurd for me to be there. But it's, like, something that I might think is fun. And I mean, like,
just don't go alone. Guys, it's like going alone to the movies.
I'm 35. Sad. Tom Petty's only 66. The ride's like more than half over. And there's they dress a midget up like Rocket Raccoon. And I want to go. I want to see the midget shoot a fake gun at fake supervillains.
You got to go, Mike, because you'll regret it if you don't. There was one of my favorite comic writers was in a town like fucking 35 minutes from me this weekend on Saturday. And I thought about it for weeks, and I'm like, oh, I got to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. It's going to be cool. He's doing a talk at the library of all places. Tim Seeley, currently is writing Nightwing, created the series Hack Slash and Arrival, and he was going to be there. He's a native of central Wisconsin. He was coming to do a talk at the library, part of a book festival. And I was pumped, and I was like hee-hawing about it, though, for weeks. I'm like, well, I should go. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go. I'm like, I never get these opportunities where I live. And then Saturday came along, and even, you know, the wife said, you know, you can go. It's not like we're holding you here. If you want to go, go. And I'm like, nah, it's just Saturday came around, and I got too much shit to do around here. I didn't go, and by 6 o'clock that evening, I regretted it. Felt really bad, and should have just made the time to do something that I would have enjoyed. Just
Travis, let's go see Marvel Universe Live.
I would see that.
Travis, you can stay here. You come out here. We'll have a fun weekend.
The kids would get pissed if I didn't take them.
Travis, bring the kids.
Mike, why can't you just take your wife?
Ah, she won't go to that.
Don't you have friends that you can invite?
She won't go to that. You want to go, Napier? You want to go? I just invited my friend Travis. You want to go see Marvel Universe live with me, Napes?
No.
See.
I don't like concerts. I don't like things. I only like hockey. Want to go see hockey?
And hockey garage sales.
Yeah, and hockey garage sales. You want to go to some hockey?
He took you to some hockey earlier this year, didn't he?
See, if you just wear like a tortoise shell that protects you from the back.
It's a cone of safety.
Does it protect your anus?
Like, do you remember those black shelled guys in Mario Brothers that like you couldn't jump on? You had to throw a green shell at them to hit them from the front.
Or the fire Mario.
But I'm more agile than them. I would jump the shell, and it would bounce off a pipe and come back and hit Mario.
That was a mistake.
But he couldn't get me from the back because I got that hard shell. So,
picks of the week?
Picks of the week.
We already know yours. It's The Orville.
It is great fun.
The Orville. And doing shitty podcasts from now on. That's his other pick of the week, Travis.
Hmm? Mike, what is your pick of the week?
Travis, I saw Kingsman, The Golden Circle, mm-hmm. and it was really good. Julianne Moore was a great bad guy. I also saw that Tom Cruise movie today because I got my movie pass.
What one is that? What was that called? What is
American
that called?
Made. Oh, yeah, and no, American he does made. Not clean people's houses. He flies around that. On a plane and smuggles heroin or cocaine. Maybe it was cocaine. What was Pablo Escobar? Was it heroin or cocaine?
Does it matter?
I think he was a cocaine guy.
Yeah, it sounds like cocaine to
me. Yeah, because Pablo Escobar, he was in it. So it was cocaine, yeah. I think.
Isn't that who Johnny Depp worked with ultimately in Blow? Was Escobar?
Travis, I mean, it's Pablo Escobar. He did both heroin and cocaine, all with Steven Seagal and that Arpaio guy.
Oh, yeah, Arpaio loves cocaine.
Yeah, that Arpaio guy, he loves cocaine. And that is my pick of the week. Travis?
Travis's pick of the week would be the Stephen King adaption of Gerald's Game, directed by Mike Flanagan. A favorite, I believe, of ours, Mike, because he's the guy who directed Hush, if you remember.
I liked Hush. I like that Flanagan guy.
He's
great. I
think
I follow him on the Twitters. He's a good follow on the Twitters.
He's great. I've liked him. He made a movie called Absentia, which I stumbled upon accidentally on Netflix. Then he followed it up and did Oculus with Karen Gillan, which I liked. Shout out to the Selfie podcast. And then he followed, he did Hush, and then he did that Ouija Origin of Evil, all of which were really good. And Gerald's Game does not disappoint. He adapts that. I mean, it's essentially two people in one room for the whole movie, but it's tense. And he does a great job. I was really excited about it. So far, Mike Flanagan to me is at 100% with what he's directed so far. So Gerald's Game.
Guys, we'll do it again next week. The proper return of Drunkard STL next week. We're glad that his girlfriend isn't dead. We still don't know about Tom Petty.
We'll figure that out later.
We'll figure it out. Or maybe we won't. Maybe Tom Petty's death will be kept secret from us because, you know, the evil overlords, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to trick us into thinking that Tom Petty is or is not dead. Who knows? Whichever side you're on, if you were wishing for Tom Petty's death, people are hiding it from you because they don't want you to experience joy.
Hey, maybe he's trying to fake his own death so he gets out of that extreme spotlight that he's in all the time. You never know.
Word. Well, that's my mama. For many years where I may lay, may hand you may
I am sleeping in my grave. While he is sleeping in his grave, maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that is given. I'll meet you on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
It's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in, leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODshow or facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to wfodshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balls Anya, and Jody B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. Basically, it's a monthly donation type thing. It's stupid, but a bunch of people have one, and ultimately we're just sheep. If you want to give us money to do the same thing we do for free anyway, that'd be nice. We'll say thanks. If not, no sweat. This won't change our relationship at all. You ungrateful fuckfaces.